looking at that verse and through it, one of the things it tells us, what does it mean to be concerned for one another? And should we be concerned for one another? What does that mean? Does that mean that we're concerned that our brother next to us is a terrible singer? No. We are concerned with the needs of one another. And if one's going through issues, we should all be concerned about that. When you're concerned about one another, you listen to what the other person has to say. Actively listen. You really care what happens in their life. And you try to help one another. You know, there was a movie back in 1962. Can we turn my volume down just a touch, please? From back in 1962 called No Man is an Island. In this movie, a man was captured by the Japanese during World War II. And in the process, he managed to escape through great sacrifice by others out at sea. It goes through his isolation, not wanting to interact with other people. But by the end of the movie, he realizes that no man is an island, that everything one person does affects another. Well, within here in the church, it's more than just no man is an island. We are a community of believers. We believe in Christ. We believe in God, and we are a community. We are a church. But what's a church? Is this a church? No. No.
We are the church.
A building. It can be torn down, destroyed, but the church still exists. You look in the middle of the word church. You've got a CH in the beginning and a CH at the end. That's your church. What's in the middle?
You
are. So who is the church?
You
are. The church is a community of believers who come together as the body of Christ. This is the difference between a church and a fellowship. We come together as different people who were born again in Christ to learn and give praise to our God. That is what a church is. Of course, the larger your community, the greater chance of possibility you have people within your church that are unsaved. Do we welcome the unsaved into our church? Yes. How else will they be saved if we don't go out and bring them in? But there's a difference between being in the congregation and being in the community. In John 3:3, it says, John said, I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the wise verse, he goes, how can a man go back into the mother's womb? No. We're talking spiritually. In Galatians 4:6, we're told, when the time came to completion, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, saying, Abba, Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we come to these scriptures and we read today and learning of your sermon, we ask, oh, Heavenly Father, that you open our hearts and our minds. Let us hear what you have to say and give me your authority and your words and your wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, part of We come together to join in a community. Community prayer. And to receive community prayer. Can you pray individually, privately? Yes, God tells us to. Can you pray individually, privately for others within the church? Yes, we're told to. And that is one side of community prayer. Another side of community prayer is like we do here in church. We pray for all the prayers, and then we do the Lord's Prayer. As we join together in a community, as we bless with the special presence of the Holy Spirit, for the scriptures tell us, where two or three are together, there I am also. We become a community, and we bless one another as we come together. If we come together and we try to be an island within the community, we are causing harm to the body. We need to be part of the community. We need to care about one another. We need to pray for one another. We need to do this with boldness, as it tells us in Acts 10:19. Therefore, brothers, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, he has opened to for us the curtain that he is flesh. God went to the cross and died for us. And one of the things that happened when Jesus died on the cross, the veil. Refresh your memory. Holies of holies. A person had to completely sanctify himself for 90 days, if I remember right, before he could enter into the holies of holies, and had to put bells around the bottom of the robe and a rope tied around them, because if they went in with any sin, they dropped dead. And only that one person could go in and speak to God for everybody else. When Jesus died, that veil was torn from top to bottom and spread apart. The veil we're talking about was like this thick. And it tore apart. That veil was not only a physical representation, it was a physical representation of a spiritual event. We no longer have to go through a human high priest. We go directly to God our Father when we pray. We get that blessing. But what about those who decide, you know what, I don't need to sit in church. I get that same blessing. Well, there's an example that many of you have heard me use before, but it fits so good here. You get a fire going with all the coals white hot. And you take a pair of thongs and reach in and grab one coal and you take it out and you set it by itself. That one coal will start to get darker and darker and darker, giving off no heat, going back to a black hole. But you pick it up with the tongs, you put it back into the fire, and very quickly, it again goes back white hot. What's this example saying? If we, as a community in Christ, separate ourselves from the community, we will be like that coal, and we will get cold and dark in our heart. We will forget our God. We will not receive the blessings of Christ. But if we come back into the community very quickly, our love for Christ will once again become white hot, and we'll be glowing with the Lord. See, God made us that way. We need to be in a community, both as a human being and spiritually. And we cannot get those blessings of a community unless we are part of a community. A community of believers. You know, if you isolate yourself from your fellow man, a person starts to become ill and they start to become sick. The same thing happens to us spiritually. If we separate ourselves from God, spiritually, we start to become ill. We need that community, the blessings of a community. We need to gather together as a community. Just as the church in the book of Acts came together in Acts 2 through 42 through 47, they came together with blessings. They came together devoted to the teachings of the disciples. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. Acts 2:42. We gathered together as a community of believers devoted to the teachings of the scriptures. See, if we just come here to church, we just come here to this building, and we have a community, and we get together, and we have a good time, but we never once talk about God, we're not a church. We're not a community of believers. We're a fellowship. We come together to study the scriptures. We study and learn these lessons through the sermons, through Sunday school, through Bible studies, and individual studies. We need to learn the scriptures and the lessons of the scriptures to aid us as we go out into the world. For we are not monks. We come into the community of believers, and then we go back out into the world. And why do we go back out into the world? Not to take our candle and hide it underneath a bush, no. We go out to spread the gospel and tell others about Christ. And we need to know the scriptures to be able to do that. We are not a community of fellowship, but a community of believers. And our hearts should hunger for that teaching. Let's say you decide this week that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you're just going to drink water, and you're going to have one cracker for breakfast, one cracker for lunch, one cracker for dinner. By Thursday, how hungry are you going to be? How many of us go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday without ever being fed scripture? We need to hunger for that scripture. We need to want to come together. Which is our next point. It was devoted to the church, devoted to teaching, devoted to fellowship. In Acts 2:46, every day they devoted themselves to the meeting together in the temple complex and broke bread together from house to house. And in Hebrews 10:23-25, let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us be concerned for one another in order to promote love and good works. Not staying away from our worship meetings, as some out of habit do, but encouraging each other. And all the more as you see the day draw near. That was Hebrews 10:23-25. Even though we are not a community of fellowship, we are a community. community of believers. And we still crave and want that fellowship. There's nothing wrong with having fellowship within the community of believers. We need that. There's something special about that. We join together. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for those who lead. We need to pray for those in positions of authority. And we need to pray for our pastors. As we come together as a community, we join together. We need to pray for one another. Prayers are not Christian. Prayers are our direct communication with God. As we talked about this morning in Sunday school, it's not a one-way communication. This is a two-way. And the more you read and understand your scriptures and you study, the more you can hear God's word by the scriptures coming to your mind. You're not going to be sitting there praying in here, "John Harper, this is God." No, that's not going to happen. But the scriptures come to your mind, and that's how God speaks to you. Although it did happen in the scriptures, at least once, maybe twice. When a community of believers come together, and we pray as a community, awesome things will happen. But for that to happen, we need to pray as a community. I'm going to ask you a question, but please don't answer it. Answer it to yourself in your heart. When we have community prayer, how many of you remain silent, both verbally and mentally, during prayer time? When we have a community of prayer, we need to pray as a community. As today, as we do on every Sunday, Pastor Joe was up here and he was praying. He collected the needs of the congregation and he prayed for them. We don't need to pray every single word the same way that he is. We do that during the Lord's Prayer. But during that time, we should also be praying for each of those needs of those people ourselves. We need to pray as a community. You know, it's not like we're the prophet told the disciples of El, "You need to shout louder. Maybe your God's asleep or on vacation." No. But it's something special when we come together as a body, as a community of believers, and pray in community. Something special. Look what happened with Peter. He was locked up in jail. And the believers were praying fervently for his release. And what happened when Peter came into the door and knocked? And the servant took his coat and said, "Hey, Peter's here. Stop bothering us. Peter's in jail." No, when you pray, you need to believe, but pray as a community. We need to make sure that we come together for the blessings of another church, that we devote ourselves to the teaching of the scriptures, we devote ourselves to fellowship, and devote to the breaking of bread. In Acts 2, 42 and 46, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. And every day they devoted themselves to the meeting together in the temple complex and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with a joyful and humble attitude." We're talking about two things at the same time when we're talking here. First of all, when we gather together as a community of believers, we also should and we do fellowship with the breaking of bread. We eat. There's something special when people get together and eat. Even out in the secular world, when two people come together to eat a meal together, there's something special about eating the meal together. Even more so among us as a fellowship. It allows us to fellowship. There's something special about when we break bread together. But this is also talking about breaking bread at the Lord's table. We come together every month. We gather together and we break bread and we drink of the food as a community, as we take the communion in remembrance of the Lord. When we do this as a community of believers, to bring glory to God, not to pat ourselves on the back, then God will glorify himself through us. An example of that I would like to use, and I pulled on the testimony on this a few Sundays back, but it's wonderful in my mind. You all know that I have an incurable cancer. It's spread throughout all my skeletal system. First of all, the Lord's keeping me alive. It was all the way down to my ankles and both legs. The last visit, the x-ray shows that it's only down to mid-thigh now. And that 10% of what was on the spine is gone. As in the words of another doctor, the medicine you're taking is to stop the cancer's progress, but it has regressed the cancer. It has done far up and above what the medicine was supposed to be able to do. That wasn't the medicine. That was the Lord God. I pray, you all pray for me in community, and the Lord glorified himself through me, showing this is impossible, but look what is going on. God does awesome things when we come together and fellowship and devote ourselves. But we must remember, both as an individual and as a community of believers, to come before the Lord humble. Do not beat our chest or pat ourselves on the back. Do not say, see what we did? Guess what? We didn't do nothing. God did it. We can still give those pats on the back and those accolades to people. John Mark, we really enjoy you being up there with the guitar and helping with the song. It was really great. We as humans need that, but at the same time, as we give that accolade, those should be redirected as saying, thank you very much to the glory of God. Without God, it would not have happened. But we come to church, we gather together as a body. And then after church and for the week, what happens? We scatter. We should not scatter like a bunch of rats. We should scatter for a cause. When we gather as a community of believers, then this community needs to scatter, to spread the gospel to others. As we go out, as a community of believers, we need to pray in both in our corporate prayers as a community and individually in our prayers for each other as we go out, so that as we go into the world and face fiery darts of Satan, that we will stand strong. For even when we go out scattered among the world, we don't do it individually. We do it as a community of believers. But you know what? All of this is important. It's also important, as the title of my sermon says, I am a community. We are children of God, and as such, we need to gather together, as I've been saying, as a community of believers. And when we get there, then each of us can say, you know what? I am a community of God. Wait a minute, Pastor Brent. You've been telling us all morning we need to be together to be a community. Now you're saying we can be a community of one? Well, not a community of one, but each of us are a community through the Holy Spirit. For if we are a true believer, we have accepted Christ as our Savior. The Holy Spirit has come and dwelt in our hearts. We are in a community with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray to God the Father. So we are in community with God the Father through the power of our high priest, Jesus Christ. So we are in community with the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. So each of us are a community. And it is why each of us can say, I am a community with God. And because I am a community of God, we are a community of believers. But if you have never become and have a community with God, you can never be part of the community of believers. How about each and every one of you out there today? Can you say, I am a community with God? If there's anyone out there who hasn't, today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off tomorrow, because tomorrow may never come. We don't do this very often, but I just feel the need right now. I'd ask everyone to bow their head in prayer. If there's anyone here who has never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to become part of that community, I ask you, let me see your hand. Today may be your last day. You don't know what tomorrow brings. And the scripture tells us today is the day of salvation. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you have shown me to teach, dear Lord. I ask that you bless us, each and every one. And if there's anyone here who needs your salvation, I ask my Heavenly Father that your Spirit touches their heart and draws them unto you. Let this community grow strong. Let us worship you. In Jesus Christ, we pray.